them a round of applause. They do this for fun because they love y'all, so give them a round. Okay, so who here has ever done anything really embarrassing? Who has a really embarrassing story? Raise your hands up high, because it's everybody. Everyone's done something stupid. Socially awkward, right? Okay, who's done something really embarrassing that involves poop? We got one? We got a couple of us, okay? Whatever you have, whatever your preconceived notions are about poop stories that are embarrassing, I'm about to surpass everything that you could ever have imagined as bad. Okay, I was a junior in college, so this is about 2 years ago, and I'm not like one, I'm not like zero, I am 20, and I went with some friends to this city out called Eureka Springs. It's just a little bit away from school with some friends for a birthday party, okay? And this girl's had, her parents were going to pay for dinner. They, like, had us all there. We were going to go to this nice dinner. We were going to go on this carriage ride later. So, okay, free meal. I'm a college student. I went a little crazy, okay? Got some oysters, probably not in season, which is a huge no-no. I ate, like, a whole steak. I probably ate everything that my girlfriend didn't eat. I like to eat, and I like to eat for free. So I did these things, and I did them well. Okay? So about an hour later, we get on this carriage ride. Nice little cute little horsey. It's a nice little white carriage. Cute little city. And it's me, my girlfriend, and four other girls. And I start kind of having that rumbly belly feeling. Okay? And I'm starting to... something needed to come out that once went in. It needed to exit my body. Okay? So, 20 years old. Okay? Kid you not. We get to the halfway point, we kind of turn around, I kept looking at my girlfriend, I'm like, I think I'm going to poop my pants. I was like positive of it, I was going to poop my pants, okay? We make it probably about, it's probably about a 30 minute ride, 20 minutes, and every once in a while I kind of, you know, I'm doing one of those like you're like turning every way, a lot of us have been there, where you're trying to keep it in, okay? You're doing everything in your power for this explosion of feces not to come out of your body, okay? Explosion of feces. I bet you didn't wake up and think you're going to hear that at church this morning. I didn't really either. And so, the Spirit leads. And so I get to that point where I'm like, every once in a while letting out a little, huh? And it's like air, we're good. And then it's like a contraction, or at least what I imagine a contraction being like. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm all right now. And then, like, 5 minutes later, it's coming, and then you're all right. 10 minutes probably left in the ride, and one of those comes, right, one of those little bubbles. And I'm like, squeezing. And this bubble, it was not number one. It was not number two. It was number three, okay? And I'll let you do that math just fine. And it comes up my back and down my pants. Like, starts with a D, ends with diarrhea, everywhere. And I'm telling you, it was disgusting. It was sick. And I look at my girlfriend and I go, I just pooped my pants. She doesn't believe me. Because I would pull that as a practice. Like, I would say that and, like, kind of make everyone worried. And all of a sudden, like, everyone's like, what is that? What is that foul smell? And I'm like, oh, that horse. Freaking horse dropped a stink pickle, I guess, or something. And so I'm kind of freaking out, and I get off the carriage, and I look at my girlfriend. I go, she didn't believe me still, and I go, look, just look, okay, just look, and I promise you, you will be a believer quick. And it is like from here to there, of just like, blech, whatever. Whatever you can imagine is the worst thing ever, it is on me, and it is everywhere. Oysters were good, but not that good. And so she goes down, and I brought a change of clothes. So she goes down, gets that change of clothes for me, brings it to me. I throw away, I'm wearing like khakis and a button-down, like I'm looking pretty fresh because it's like a nice birthday dinner, and I throw away the khakis. She brings me clothes, and everyone's like, why are you hanging around Jason's clothes, like, what is going on? And lo and behold, she was a great friend to me, okay? And that leads us into our chat today about how Jesus was a good friend. And I know That is a not a stretch, but it is a story about how a friend was a friend, okay? And Rachel, lo and behold, became my wife, okay? So guys, if you want a wife, poop your pants. That's all that you have to do. Eat a lot and poop your pants. So, okay. So this is what we want from a friend. Tell me if I'm wrong, but don't, because you're going to be wrong. Someone to hang with and have fun, okay? We want someone who will pick us up when we're down. Rachel did that for me. Someone that they can count on when times are tough. Rachel was, otherwise I'm walking around in khakis that have poop all over them. This is bad. And so she was there for me, okay? You want someone that thinks about them and includes them. And so that's what a friend is to us. But I think something we miss a lot, something that's huge, especially as a believer, is to have someone who's willing to speak truth into your life, to speak truth to you and love you in that way. And that's something that Jesus did very well. Okay, so let's do a quick review of the last 2 weeks. First week, y'all can volunteer some answers here. So what did we talk about the first week? We talked about how Jesus was a friend to who? Everyone. Great. Say it loud. Okay, and what was our application 2 weeks ago? Make three new friends. Nice. Green shirt. Love it. Okay. Green shirt. Yeah, you can spot her from pretty much anywhere in the room. Okay, so second week, what do we talk about? We talked about how Jesus was a friend to who? Outcasts and enemies. Nice, Lawrence. Okay, what was our application for that? Pretty obvious. Say it out loud. Yes, make a friend with an outcast or an enemy. So how have we done? Good. Keep it up, okay? I'm going to challenge you with one more thing this week, and then we're going to be done with the cool, socially awkward Jesus thing. All right, so this week I'm going to challenge y'all with the fact that Jesus spoke truth, okay? So a person who is a good friend, a person who is really a true friend, is going to be a good friend to others and therefore will receive a good friendship back from others. So, in other words, you give what you get. If you want to be, if you want to receive good friendship from someone, if you want to have a good friend that loves you in the right way, you have to give to them what you would want to receive. And so that's what Jesus did. And so, like, I know, like, for guys, because I'm a guy, I know, like, guys, we're always quick to cut each other down. So we're quick to be like my roommates and I would always, like, call each other every derogatory name we could come up with. And it was funny, but at the same time, we come away with this idea, guys do, that sticks and stones can't break our bones. That's bogus. We all get hurt, okay? Girls, I have two sisters. I'm married. I gained two more sisters, so I have five women in my life. And I'm more than aware of the gossip chain. I went to Trinity Christian Academy. That place is like amoebas are just like welling and gossiping everywhere. And I know, welling? Is that the right word? No. So, you have those girls that are, Sally, right? Like, she's really nice, but, like, what is that skirt? What is she wearing? And guys are like, yeah, you're fat. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. But, like, that's not nice. And Jesus did not call us to that. So if you want a friend... So bring it back in. If you want a friend who's going to be giving the friendship that you want to you, you have to put out and you have to give to them that kind of friendship. So let's look at, turn your Bibles to John 4. Okay, we got the passage. A person is a good friend, we'll have good friends. Amen. So before you can find the right friend, you've got to be the right friend to others. So let's look at four different ways. Today that's what we're going to do, is look at four different ways that Jesus displayed or exemplified friendship. So we'll start with verse 4. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. And I'm going to stop there. And this is an easy verse that you just read and you just go next. But what's really important about this verse is Jesus was, like the literal translation of this verse is like, it was God's will for Jesus to go through Samaria. It's not like he had to. So let's put that map up real quick and we'll go back. Map action. Okay. So the purple is Samaria, the pink down low is Judea, and the top is Galilee, okay? he's trying to go from Judea to Galilee. And every single Jew would go through the green, which is Perea. I'm not a DTS guy. And you'd go from Judea to Perea up to Galilee, and you would go across that Jordan River, and you would never step foot in Samaria because they hated Samaritans. Jews hated them because they were like a crossbreed of Assyrian and Jew, which was like being a crossbreed of like a monkey and a human, and everyone hated the monkey. And so, however, he chooses, so we can go back to the verse. So Jesus chooses to go through Samaria because he knows that that's where God has called him. God has called you sometimes. God puts that thing in your heart that's like, I think I need to talk to that person. I think I need to love that person. That person outcast, like we did last week. An outcast is sitting at the lunchroom all alone and has no friends. And you have that spirit in your heart saying, hey, I need to talk to that person. If you don't honor and obey God's request and the Spirit convicting you, then you're not being what Jesus was. And he was obedient to what God knew, what he knew God had called him to. Like another translation says that it was necessary for him to go. So it was God's will. So he recognized it. He recognized the need. He could have avoided it. We can all avoid that. We can all always avoid those situations, but he didn't. So that's the first thing we can learn from Jesus. So keep going. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. So Jesus is tired. He's been walking from Judea to all the way up through Galilee or through Samaria, and he's just getting tired. So he sits down and gets a drink. And the Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And his disciples weren't there because they went to town to buy food. And so the Samaritan kind of is like looking at this Jewish guy, and she's like, "Why is this dude asking me for a drink? We don't talk. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews never associated with the Samaritans. So just to set the scene, like pull up to this little well, which was like this big thing that rain fell in, and that's how they got water. Like we go over there to the nice little orange Home Depot tub and get water, and they would have to like walk either really far or at least in their backyard to just get a bucket of it. So Jesus asked for water, and she's like, what do you don't talk to me. So Jesus breaks three social barriers here. He goes, you know what? This is what the world tells me to do. I don't care. I'm not following that. He talks to a woman. Men did not talk to women. Men did not talk to their sister, in public. They didn't talk to women. They didn't talk to their sister, their daughter, their wife in public in this day. So it's not that weird to us, but for them, this would have been like, you don't talk to her ever. And then she was a Samaritan. So she's like on the bad guy's team. She's a woman. And then we find out later that she's a prostitute. So this girl's not like swinging, you know, very well right now. And Jesus nonetheless says, I don't really care. I'm going to talk to this woman because I know this is my calling. She's been put in my path and I know I need to share with her. And so he breaks these three boundaries. He breaks these three social barriers and he doesn't care. He doesn't care what the world said. Okay? The world is telling us not to talk to that weird kid, to that maybe that bully-ish kid. There's those people at our schools. We have sisters and brothers that maybe bug us. And the world says, you don't have to talk to them. They're annoying. They're rude. They're weird. Jesus is like, you're missing it. That's not what it is. You don't just base what you do off of what the world says. So let's keep looking and diving. Jesus answered, go back. Four ways, okay? The first way Jesus exemplified friendship was he started a conversation. So it's not that hard. All Jesus did was just sit down, say, give me a drink of water. If that's what it takes, go up to some random person and say, give me a drink of water. They'll probably look at you weird. If you just ask them for like a drink of water, which they're like, water fountains over there, get out of my life. But if that's what it takes, start a conversation. So that's all Jesus did. It's not like this really intense tactic. He just started a conversation with a woman. So Jesus answered her, verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave the well, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Okay, so this lady's sitting there, and he asks for a drink, and then she's like, why would you ask me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. And then he says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink of living water. And just to kind of explain what that means, water, okay, like I said earlier, it was an essential it is an essential thing to live, but for them it was a lot harder for them to get than for us to get. They had to wait for rain. They didn't have like this sweet like water tower that had like College Station on it or whatever. And so like for us, it's a lot, it was like really easy to get water, but for them it wasn't. And so she's talking to him and he's like, hey, I would have, you know, I can get this living water for you. And she's kind of like, wait, where is this living water we're talking about? Because I don't see it anywhere. And she's like, I don't know how you're going to draw this water if you don't have a bucket. Where's your bucket? How are you getting this water? And so he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so the woman says, okay, so you're talking about living water that I'd never have to go and get. Sign me up, make it a double. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I have to keep coming here to draw water. Like, you're talking about some water that, like, bubbles up in my body and, like, keeps filling itself up. That sounds great. I never have to go back into this well. Okay, so the second thing Jesus does is he inspires her with God's goodness, okay? He sees an opportunity to spark her interest and say, hey, there's this thing called living water. You may live for this, like, this Gatorade that's going to quench you for maybe an hour or two, but I have something that can last forever, for eternity, okay? Something that is way greater than any water you're digging out of this well that Jacob gave you. Okay, so he saw an opportunity to share God with her, and he took it. So he started a conversation, and then he inspired her with God's goodness. Okay, so we're moving on to verse 16. Go call your husband and come back. And she's like, I don't have a husband. And because she's a prostitute, right? So she has had five. Jesus said to her, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you've had five. And the man you are with now is not your husband. So you're up to six dudes. Not doing so good. What you have just said is quite true. And then the woman said, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. So she's sitting there like, how do you know this? How do you know I've had all these men in my life? And our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. So what Jesus does here is he sees an opportunity to call her out. In love, he does not like, hey, you're kind of a skank. No offense. No, he didn't say that. He says, hey, you know what? You've had quite a few husbands here. And so he sees an opportunity, and he doesn't ignore the need. So that's our third thing. Jesus does is he ignores the need. This is how he was a friend. Okay, I had a friend, Matt. I was a senior at Trinity Christian Academy. I was playing football, and I was like kind of supposed to be a leader. I knew I had a calling to be a leader, and I also knew, you know, that who Jesus was, and I was a Christian, and I knew I was supposed to represent him at all times. However, I got frustrated during a game, and I dropped a curse word, and it was in front of, like, the whole team, and I said it to a guy on the other team. This is not my most shining moment. Maybe, I'm not sure where I'd put it next to the poop on my body everywhere, but it's somewhere in that whole category of don't do again. But this guy called me out, Matt. Said, hey, he was younger than me. He was a year younger. He said, hey, we don't talk like that. Don't do that. It's not cool. And do you think that was easy for him? Or do you think that was hard? Yeah, it's not easy to just stand up right away and say, hey, that's not cool. But he did it because he knew it's what God had called him to do. Okay? And I've had a lot of good times with friends where we just hang out and have fun. And I don't necessarily remember those. But this guy who was a true friend who called me out, I'll remember that forever. Like, I'm talking about it 6 years later. Like, I obviously remember that very well. And those are the true friends, and that's what goes back to our idea of if you want to be a true friend to someone and you want a friend to be a true friend to you, you have to be that friend to them. And so Jesus wasn't afraid to call her out. It can be that, like, oh, my gosh, what if this person doesn't like me? What if if I tell them that they're being a jerk, like, it's simple things. It can be, hey, don't gossip about that girl behind her back. Don't gossip about those people. Don't put him down in front of everybody else. Whatever it is, God has called you as a believer to speak truth in love to these people. And that is what a true friend is. Okay? So let's go to John 4:21. Okay? Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that a Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus looked at her and said, "Yeah, that guy you're talking about, that's me. I'm the one you speak of." So what did he do here? So the first thing he did was he started a conversation. Second thing he did was he inspired her with God's goodness, sparking that interest in her and saying, "Hey, there's this living water. There's so much more than being a prostitute and having putting your whole worth in men, putting your whole worth in something that is so futile. And this water that you drink, it's not going to last forever." And then he didn't ignore her need. He called her out. And then the fourth thing he did was he offered her salvation. He says, "Hey, I'm that guy. I'm the Messiah. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when we can worship in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter where it is. This whole debacle about is it in Jerusalem or wherever. He didn't care because he was there and he was there to take her sin." Okay, so he took his opportunity to share salvation, y'all. Whether it's salvation or just calling someone out, there's people in your life. I promise there's people in your life who need to hear truth. Whether it is, hey, don't be rude to that person, or whether it is, hey, I have the greatest truth of all to tell you about. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took advantage of an opportunity and he said, "I'm not going to be afraid. Hey, what if she says no? What if she doesn't? What if she is like, no, I'm good with being a prostitute?" No, he didn't care. He took advantage of an opportunity and he spoke the greatest truth into her. Okay? So that's going to get us to our application for this week, all right? If you want to be a friend, like I said, remember that a good friend to others will have others be a good friend to them, okay? And vice versa. So Jesus was a friend who spoke truth in love. So one of the biggest keys to what Jesus did was he was willing, okay? He went through Samaria, which no Jew did, okay? He talked to a prostitute, which no Jew did. Be the kid at your school. Be the kid in your family who stands up for what's right, who talks to the kid that doesn't have someone talking to them, who's speaking truth to the bully who needs to be talked to, who needs to have someone say to them, "Hey, there's so much more life in following this guy I follow. His name's Jesus. Come follow him with me. I'm not perfect. Get the log out of your own eye." You've probably heard that before, but guys, Jesus has so much more life for those people, and you have a responsibility as a believer in Christ to share that with them. And whether it is like a friend on a sports team, a friend on, you know, a church here, or a school, or a family member, there's those people in your life that God is going to call you to for the rest of your life. And it's not just like, this is an application for this week, but this is an application for life, okay? So be a friend that speaks truth and love, okay? So he did that, and let's look at what happened at the end here. So verse 28, Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. He knew everything about me. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So move on to verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So, application. Speak truth and love to a friend. Whether that's a friend at school that needs to hear the greatest truth of who Jesus is, or if it's a friend who needs to be called out, who needs to be spoken truth and love. But what I want you to get from this last passage is that because of what Jesus did, because he talked to this random Samaritan woman who was a prostitute, who he never should have talked to, so the world said, and he said, hey, will you give me some water? Let's chat. He started a conversation. He inspired her with God's goodness. He didn't ignore her need. He called her out, and then he shared salvation with her. Okay? So if we speak truth in love to one person, what happened in this case, is that he got a ball rolling that got a lot of Samaritans to follow him. If you speak truth and love to one person, who knows where God can take that? They might go tell their friend of who Jesus is. That's the gospel. That's what we're called on this earth to do, is to share God's love with others. So, that's our application for this week. Speak truth and love to one person. I'm going to pray it out. And Jason, if you would come back up and sing that last song with us. Lord God, we just come to you now and just thank you so much for who you are, that because of who you are, because of what you did on the cross, our sins are washed away, our debt is paid, and we no longer live in bondage. And Lord, we have freedom in you. And Lord God, I ask that these students would be willing servants who aren't afraid of what the world says and aren't afraid of their reputation more than your reputation, Lord. God, I ask that these students would be followers of you, and that they would speak truth into a friend, and Lord, that they would be seen as different by their peers because of the way they follow you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Whose reputation is not based on how much their friends like them or how much they are known at their schools, Lord, but that the fact that they follow you and they worship you with their lives, Lord. Father God, I thank you so much for the blessing we have of coming here. And Father, I do pray for David, for Harrison, and for our team of Watermark people who are in Uganda right now, Lord, that you would protect them, and Lord, that you would do big things in Uganda through them, Lord, that students this age and younger and older, Lord, would come to know you in Africa, and that your word would spread there. Father God, we pray all this in your name. Amen. All right.